Welcome to a Sober Girls Guide podcast, a lifestyle podcast based on sobriety and recovery. I'm your host and sober girl, Jessica Jabot. Inspired by my own sobriety and wellness journey, I want to spread the wealth of knowledge. Tune in each week for uncensored conversations about mental health, self-development, wellness and spirituality, and how they influence each guest's unique recovery journey. My goal is to educate and inspire and to let you know you are not alone on your recovery journey. Thanks so much for tuning in to a Sober Girls Guide podcast. Let's go! Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 203 of a Sober Girls Guide podcast. This episode is a little bit different. On this episode, Kate from Clear Headed Podcast asks me some hard questions and holds me accountable to breaking habits and patterns in relationships. Now, in this episode, there are definitely a few tears as we dive into relationships in sobriety and how your relationship to yourself is paramount to building and cultivating healthy relationships. It is also important to recognize that this is a safe, very safe and loving space that Kate has so graciously created to hold this conversation with me and to, again, really hold me accountable for my actions. And you're going to see firsthand how this all unfolds. This is such a fantastic episode. Let's get into it.
Okay, my first question, one, I've been listening to this audiobook called like The Gift of Gathering, I think it's what it's called. And it was written by this woman whose literal job and profession is to like gather people together, and she's the best at it. Like she knows how to do it from huge corporate events to one-on-one time with people, intimate parties, you know, even down to like social political gatherings, people consult with her to make sure that you get the most out of like your time in this event.
Cool.
And it's such a good book so far, and I'm not done with it, but really her main thing is whenever you're going to gather people together, and like right now we're gathering together, the first question to be answered is like, what is your purpose? Like, what is the purpose of this? Because when all else fails, you want to go back to your purpose. When you feel like you're losing control, when you feel like the night isn't going how it's supposed to, like turning back to your purpose. So all of that to say, what do you think the purpose is of us having these conversations? And that could be like twofold. Yeah. Like, what's your personal purpose from this? And then what's like the bigger purpose? What's the purpose for like the audience, you know?
Wow, that's a really great question. And I think when you ask me like, what am I afraid of? Kind of like that also led me to like my purpose. So of course, like I'm afraid of looking like being vulnerable and looking like kind of a fraud or a failure. But then when you ask me what my purpose is, it actually kind of remedied that feeling, because like the purpose of this conversation is to show you and tell you like the amazing gifts of like doing the work, being self-awareness, like learning about yourself. And that's like an ongoing thing. And like, that's exactly what I'm doing. So like basically practicing what I preach and what I tell like my clients and what I tell everyone, like, I don't, like on social media and on the podcast, like I'm literally taking my own advice and like a like living proof of like doing the work on yourself, like finding out what makes you tick, like what you need, what your like needs and wants are, can shape and change. And like this growth and evolution is like so incredible and can only like bring you amazing things, like so many possibilities and opportunities. Like I keep saying, like, oh my God, the world has so many possibilities and opportunities, but like it really does. And I think by like having this conversation with you, like, and you know, going through these patterns and like these experiences, because relationships are so important and vital, you know, in our lives. Like they're a huge part of our lives, if not like the main thing in our lives, right? Like, yeah, connecting with other people, right. Whether that be like professionally, friends, loved ones, family, like how we relate directly impacts our life. And so learning about yourself, and this is just like a huge freaking lesson, like so many mind-blowing experiences about learning about myself and how I relate to people has literally changed my life.
Epic.
And so yeah, that's that's the purpose.
Okay, I love that. I think that's a purpose I can get behind.
Cool.
When you're saying like relationships, I just think about,
yeah,
like for so long, I think even if I wasn't aware of it at the time, like alcohol was the only consistent relationship that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of ways, like you touched on, like, I think the pattern that I had, or like the dynamic that I had with alcohol, was like what I stuck out. How do you say that? Like what I was seeking out in personal relationships, because it was like the longest term relationship I had was with alcohol. Like from the time it was like 15, like it was the only constant in my life. In a weird way, I think that's how I shaped my definition of love and stability, was like what alcohol was to me. Mm-hmm. And then as that changed and I realized that was expired, like that didn't work anymore, and maybe it never really did, and you're processing like the grief of having this thing you've leaned on for so long not being there, and you not wanting it there, that evolution I think then was mirrored in like the evolution of how I saw myself and what I needed in other people too. Yeah. And I like, does that resonate with you? And can you think of like a similar pattern where the relationship with alcohol was mirroring your relationships in like a romantic way at the same time or after?
Yeah. I think it's also like, I've also been trying to make like alcohol just like this one dimensional thing. And unfortunately, like alcohol has been like fitting in and filling so many needs and wants that it like changes, if that makes sense. Like,
yes,
it's not just like, oh, I use it for this at like one and done. Like the thing of like what makes alcohol so like enticing and so like that bond and that like, it's not a bond, it's like it's an attachment, mm-hmm. you know, that makes that hold so strong, is because it's multifaceted. It's hitting so many different things. So like, you know, in terms of like relationships, like alcohol, sometimes it would be like really great. And then sometimes it would be horrible. Like I could either be like raging, partying, like have like the time of my life, fun, happy, carefree, or I would like be extremely like violent, aggressive, like taking on bouncers with like a chair, like it was like WWF, very attractive, or like crying and balled up in the corner and unable to like control my emotions and just having this like just complete overwhelm and just bawling and crying like hysterically. And that was like completely true of like how I also like felt and acted in relationships. Like I would either be extremely hard, tough, cold, throw up these walls, like nothing's penetrating this, like I'm so tough, like look at me, WWF. Or I would be a complete like basket case, like not be able to regulate my emotions and like let it take the wheel.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's so many similarities.
Did that happen like even after you stopped drinking? Like, was it still that? Did like the tumultuousness of relationships replace the tumultuousness of a drinking relationship?
I do have to say, like, it did maybe like calm down a bit, but those key like urges were still there, and those key like kind of freakouts, like maybe they weren't as dramatic or exacerbated as like when I would be drinking, because let's be honest, like when you're drinking, like no holds bar, like
totally
it goes wild, right? But like when you're sober, you kind of have a little more like wherewithal. You're like, oh, okay, like maybe don't throw a chair across the room. Right? Right. But you will kind of do things or think things that are almost equivalent to throwing a chair across the room. Mm. Right? So like that negative self-talk or like these crazy like thoughts, like, you know, a fear of abandonment, like that will take over and it will literally be like throwing a chair across the room, but in my mind or like emotionally, like I would kind of beat myself up.
Yeah. Do you think you're still there? Like, is that something you still are managing?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely still there. And I definitely found like finding out, you know, like coming to the realization that, hey, I have anxiety. Like, but like actually, and not just like, you know, having trendy anxiety, which like, you know,
TikTok
but like
anxiety,
TikTok anxiety. Yes. But like actually being like looking at my behaviors, looking at like when these behaviors come up, like where do they stem from? Like, yes, my grandma was anxious. My grandpa was anxious. My mom is anxious. My dad, like everyone in my family, all my brothers have anxiety. I also have anxiety. And for so long, I totally like fought it off. I thought I was just like, not a big deal. Oh, I'm just like, I just get nervous in situations. Mm. But like, if I actually kind of like sit and look at like my behaviors again, because they're consistent, right? Like we do things consistently, as much as like we like to think that we're just like unique and just, you know, things just happen once in a while. Yeah, we got some like solid patterns and consistent shit going on. I have anxiety. And so like even admitting that to myself, I'm like, I don't take that label as like a death sentence. Like I don't take that as like a restriction. Yeah. It's almost like a, oh my God, I'm not crazy. Like, okay, this is behavior of an anxious person. Cool. Like I can deal with that, right? It's almost like, okay, I'm anxious. I'm not like a crazy psycho girlfriend, or I'm not a crazy psycho like lover or partner. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
this is something that I deal with. It's not directed, you know, it may be tipped off by certain people, but it's not personally it's not personally attached to anyone, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like it's me, and like, cool, this is something that I get to work on and work through. It's not like the end of the world anymore. I'm not spiraling out of control.
Isn't that so great how sometimes labels like deter us from like that self-acceptance, and sometimes labels really help us.
Yeah.
Like it's so unique. It really is just so unique to everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I got diagnosed
last year I got diagnosed with ADHD, and I was like, it all makes sense. Everything makes sense. Oh my gosh. Yes, I'm not lazy. I'm not a flake. I'm not irresponsible. It's hard for me to complete doing simple tasks.
Right.
Because of the like brain chemistry that I have naturally occurring or not naturally occurring. Like it's really, and it's just, it's I'm glad that you find that freeing. I think it's like,
but it's not a cop out. Like, I'm not like, right? Like, no, I'm not taking it as a cop out. I'm like, okay, cool. It's almost like a signal being like, okay, like this isn't a real thought, or this isn't like, you don't really have facts to back this up. This could be like, you know, Mr. Anxiety coming up and like just showing face.
Totally. Do you like meditate or anything? Like, do you take pause when you have those intrusive, like anxious thoughts?
I'm not great at meditating. I'm just going to say it. I'm not great.
It's a muscle. It's a muscle.
I mean, I like it when I get around to it. Yes. But I think just definitely like I've always been a very fast person, like kind of catch me if you can kind of situation, like keep running and nothing will get you. So everything I do is very, very fast. And my mom was like this too. Like she'd be like, oh, I want to paint this bedroom this color. I'm like, okay. She like in literally like 15 minutes, she's gone to like Home Depot, got the paint, got everything. We're painting the fucking bedroom.
I'm laughing because I'm literally the same.
Yeah.
I'm very, there's an impulsive element. Look, I think with anybody who had drinking as heavily probably as we used to, there's like a certain amount of like, well, actually, I don't know if this rings true with you, so I won't try to speak for you. But for me, I realized like I used to drink so much because I needed to slow the F down.
Yes.
And I didn't know how to manage that. So I just went shut off. Shut it down, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down.
Yep.
And I think that there is this like, I think they call it like the pink cloud or something where you, once you get sober and once you stop drinking and you feel like you really have it together, you seem like invincible. Like everything is solved and everything is perfect.
Yes.
But once sobriety becomes factual in your life, you start to realize that there are things and hurdles that are like continue to happen. Like anxiety is real. It's not just hangxiety. It comes right back up and it's just as challenging and probably even more so because you're actually fucking present to feel that anxiety. You are not numbed. You are not dull. You don't have a raging headache paired along that you like kind of distract yourself from, or you don't have a hangover to blame for the reason that you're feeling this way. So like you have to confront it.
Or like, it'll confront you.
Yes. It's like, who's going to check who? Who's going to check who?
Yep.
I think.
Totally.
I hear you on like the fast paced vibe.
Yeah.
And
that kind of leads into my relationships too, right? Like I have been up until this point, have been like, gotta find someone, gotta get married, gotta get all the things. Like this is when my life is gonna start now. Like gotta find them now. Like why can't I just find someone? Why can't I just do this now? And that's a really shitty place to be.
And try and loop someone into that.
Yeah.
Can I draw a parallel? I think that, look, I'm sitting here and I'm in a happy relationship and I don't know that pressure and I don't know. I mean, I did used to know that pressure. But I'm not in it currently. So I just want to acknowledge that. But I also think what we do have in common, both you and I, is that we don't drink, and you were able to shift your perspective on the social expectation of having a relationship with alcohol and managing that and drinking that and being ticking those boxes for society.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the pressure that you have, I feel like there's a reframe that needs to happen. The pressure, like the pressure in the kettle and the cooker is like too high and it's just not meant for everyone. Just like having a fucking relationship with alcohol isn't for everyone at the time in the way the people like make it seem to be.
Yeah.
So like,
oh my God. Yes.
if you can relinquish that expectation in the same way, like, you know how freeing you feel not having to manage your expectations and have a relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
Is there a world where releasing those expectations don't result in feeling like you failed, but actually result in you feeling like you've gained power and like longevity and self-love and like beyond?
Dude, like, you're literally blowing my mind when you're just like saying that. I'm just like thinking of, like, you know, when you're getting sober and you're like, maybe I can just like moderate, right? To kind of keep holding on, because like, I think the fear, like, the underlying fear is of being alone.
Yes.
And so, like, I have been like moderating dating, you know, like, I've been like settling for this, or like, you know, my brother just got married and has a kid, and like, I'm like, okay, I gotta find someone too, you know, like, because he did it, and like, you know, all this like pressure, and like, well, if he can do it, like, I can do it. And it's like the same as like, well, if he can drink, that I can drink or moderate, like, what the hell? It's just so much pressure, and it takes up so much mental real estate that you don't even realize, because of freaking fear. Like, the fear of like being without and like change, and like, you know, in relationships, it's like the fear of being like alone. Like, oh my God, am I ever going to find someone?
Totally.
And then like, in sobriety, like, am I ever going to have like fun or be normal again? Like, oh my God. Yeah, of course. Like, that definitely can happen. Oh my gosh, I'm like the walking poster child of finding freedom in all of that. Like,
yeah.
Yes, it definitely can happen. And you're like, you're right. It has to be like a mindset shift. And I don't want to just like plug in someone into my life just so like I won't be alone.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't just like action figures where you can just like interchange the characters here. Like, these are people, you know, this is life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wouldn't want to be somebody else's plug-in.
No,
either.
No.
You wouldn't want to be somebody else's moderate date.
Yeah.
You want to be the ultimate. You want to be the goal. You want to be the hangover-free.
I want to be the choice. I want someone to choose me, and I want to choose someone. I don't want to have to do it because of like the fear of being alone. And that's like, that is why, like, I got to back up the truck here.
I think that too, like, even if I push it further, the first choice, when you reframe how alcohol plays in your life, the first thing you have to choose is yourself.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with, like, dating.
What's the best for you?
What is the best for you, and who are you, and what do you want, and what do you see for yourself, and what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses, and knowing yourself so deeply that there is no wiggle room, there is no moderation, just like how you get, like, we are with our drinking, like, it's just a fact, like, this works and this doesn't. And I'm not ashamed of what I like and what I don't like, because I'm so confident in the knowing of what I like and what I don't like that it's not even intimidating anymore, you know?
Totally.
Again, I'm not dating, so like, I'm not there, but I think that's like a good, there's a good theory I have.
Yeah.
Now you go explore it. You see if it's true.
No, you're totally right. And like, I am just like not the person. Like, I don't want to be dating multiple people. That's just not my jam. You know, I am definitely down for like a monogamous long-term relationship. Like that's my goal. And I've been kind of like denying that almost, or like feeling guilty that I even want that, because I don't know, I guess like the fear that maybe it's not going to be there or it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it might not happen. You know, I mean, it's, I'm going to tell you right now, it's definitely not going to happen coming from a place of like fear and just like dating out of the fear of being alone.
Yes.
That is a surefire way to like attract the wrong people for me.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know that. So like, yeah, cool. Totally. That's that. I think like one of the biggest hurdles.
Yeah.
First, you kind of got to like sit and be like, okay, this isn't working. This yeah. is not working.
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. So we kind of had a mind blow moment, I think.
Yeah. Totally. Definitely.
How do you like, how does that, all right. What's the game plan now? What's your game plan?
Yeah.
Like, where do you see yourself like for the next month or for the next 2 weeks? Or like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
To like, I don't know, to move
do this
forward.
Work. Yeah.
Yeah. Do yeah.
Well, I think it's like important to kind of give a little context of like where all this shit came from.
Yes, that's super important.
Yeah. So, okay, let's just start off. You know, I did an episode with someone that I was dating. I thought it was like pretty serious. Turns out like doing a podcast episode with your partner is kind of like getting a tattoo, like the modern day equivalent.
The kiss of death.
Yeah. They're like the modern day equivalent of getting a tattoo, like matching tattoos with your partner. It's like, oh shit. So literally like after that, and I've been kind of putting off like even talking about this, cause it's like, ugh, I don't know. It just seems cringy to me, but here we are. So like literally, I think 2 days after that podcast episode came out, we broke up. And I, you know, I think she's like a really great person. Again, you know, I was going through things and I was putting a lot of pressure on myself. Like I said, my brother just got married, had a baby, and I'm like, that's what I want. I have this person, and he's like, don't fuck it up. And I'm like, she's like normal. And I'm like, okay. You know, it was just so much pressure and moving so fast. And I don't know, you just know when you're like gut, like this can't be it, you know? Yeah. And I'm not saying that like in any like offense to her, like it just wasn't doing it for me.
No. And honestly, like you could look at it too, like you weren't her person either.
Yeah.
Real factual. Yeah. It just didn't pan out, and you learned it real hard and real fast together. Yes.
Yeah.
And as fast as it like, came about. Is messy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because remind me of the full timeline of that relationship.
I think we were together for maybe like 2.5-3 months.
Okay.
And
so
like
super quick.
Super quick. Super, super quick. And like, it was just like funny, like we were kind of around the same age, we wanted the same things, and like that's great, but like it's not like it just didn't have like any spark, or like I don't know, like I just kind of like
was it the same dynamic, was it like a different dynamic, was it the same dynamic as relationships that you had been in? Like
definitely the same brand of person. So okay. When I say same brand of person, it's like pretty like emotionally unavailable, like pretty okay. cold. I felt pretty dumb for asking like simple questions. Okay. Yeah. So just, yeah. And then some things that happened down the road. Yeah. That's like my brand of person, like emotionally unavailable.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so a lot of people can relate to that, because sometimes like emotionally unavailable feels safer in a weird way.
Totally. You don't have to like,
you're like,
you have the 1 foot in, 1 foot out. you're safe, right?
You're like in the kiddie pool. You're like, this is shallow. I know as deep as it's going to go.
Yes.
And maybe I'm kind of like, I'm jumping in and I'm scraping my knees, but like, hey, I knew it. I know what I know the pain I'm signing up for.
Totally. Because I know how to control it.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's also something you and I have in common. A little bit of control issue. Hey.
A little bit. A lot of it.
That's super on brand.
Yeah.
With drinking a lot. Control issues, both like out of control and trying to keep things in control. I'm like,
Totally. But it's like also being like in control, like it eradicates that, like that fear, right? Mm-hmm. Like, cause you can control the situation. You can manipulate the situation. You kind of know what kind of like hurt maybe is on the horizon. Yeah. And you're like so numb and used to like what this hurt is. Like you're basically unattached to this person.
Gosh, fear so it is doesn't such hurt. A theme.
Dude, it like your fears will literally sabotage your relationships. It's so fucked. That's why it's so great to learn and understand what your fears are. So like you can address them and then like, I mean, they're going to show up in your relationships. I'm not going to say like, okay, once you know your fears, like it's over, like congratulations. No, it's like, Kate, this is how you can then manage and understand why this is coming up in relationships and why, you know, this is even happening. Why are you even attracted to this person?
with this like last relationship, like, and I guess just going on, like my fears come up in my relationship all the time with Sarah. And I think what I've learned is like communication, no matter how uncomfortable it is or messy it is like the most important thing. Has that been something that has been present in your relationships in the past? Do you feel like communication is a strength of yours, a weakness? And like, does it fall into a pattern in any way of dating for you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at communicating. I'm not so good at like holding boundaries and like actually taking action and like standing up for what I need and want. However, in this past relationship, that's exactly what I did. Like I stood up, I'm like, this is not okay. Like, this is not like working for me. And then when I got that response of like, you know, totally disregarding my feelings and how I felt and like, you know, kind of gaslighting almost. Then I'm like, okay, cool. This is my choice. So like, this is how it's going to be, right? Like, this is how this person reacts to me expressing how I feel and like how I'm at like a situation. I can either choose to like deal with it and be in it, or I can choose to leave the relationship because it doesn't work for me. And I left. And I have zero regrets in that.
Was that, are you saying that was like the first time where a situation like that you actually left, like in the past, have you
I would have hold on, I would have like let it go, like maybe it'll change.
So are you fully past that habit, do you think? Like, do you feel like
I feel like that feels like really good, and like I have zero regrets about that. Like in the past, I think I would have felt like really guilty and been like, oh my God, like I could have worked on it. I should have done this. I should have like said it maybe this way. And maybe like I would have gotten like a better response, or, you know, maybe the situation would have been different. But no, like I'm allowed to like stand up for myself. And when things don't feel okay, like I'm allowed to be like, okay, this isn't working for me. I see like how you are and how you interact. Great. I don't want to change that. That is you. Mm-hmm. But I got to also do me, and I'm out.
Yeah. That's where like the confidence in your, and like knowing yourself comes in. Sounds like you really
knowing yourself. Dude.
Knowing yourself. Yeah.
Like I wouldn't say it's confidence. It's fucking scary as shit, but like, I just couldn't do it. Like, I just couldn't kind of put up with that behavior. And I'm like, what? This is like foreshadowing. Like, if this is how, like,
yeah,
we're going to deal with confrontations, like, I can't do that anymore. And honestly, so, like, breaking up, so much freedom. But what I did after that, questionable.
Questionable. I mean, the teaser you just here set we go. Up. Knock it. Knock the ball that you just teed up for me.
So literally, like days after breaking up, and like, you know, I just wasn't attached to the situation. So I didn't think I needed to like grieve or like, I was totally fine. Which I've never really been in breaking up in a relationship. So that was new. I decided to like start seeing my ex.
The ex.
That I've been like on and off with for like 3 years.
Just
light that candle right back up again.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The comfort. Were you seeking comfort? So I hear you saying that you weren't grieving, yet you went and seeked out. Why can't I figure out how to say that? You went seeking comfort.
Yeah. I mean, I went to seek comfort, and like, but the thing is, like, it's that relationship is not really comfortable. It's actually like really triggering, which I also like misdiagnose in my head as like excitement.
Ah.
Yeah.
How'd you figure that out? How'd you figure out that you've misdiagnosed it?
Because time will tell. Time is a beautiful little situation, and it's not that exciting anymore. It's actually not exciting at all. And it has like completely made me almost like sick.
Yeah.
And let my anxiety take the wheel.
Yeah.
It just like completely doesn't work. It's not exciting. It's detrimental. And that is, again, something that I don't want. Like, I keep going back to like this person who just, you know, like your parents know how to like push those buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you in it still? Are you out of it?
Technically still in it, but not for long.
Accountability.
Yeah. I mean, this is like where it gets really real. Like, this is, you know, it's like alcohol. Like, I know it's not serving me. There's like literal red flag after red flag, like just waves of anxiety and like shitty feelings. This is not what I want. Like, why would I continue going down this path? And it's not like in my mind, I have completely detached from this relationship. It's just a matter of logistics. Like, I don't want to do this over the phone. I don't want to do it over text. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm old enough that I would prefer to have this conversation in person. If that works out, great. If it doesn't, great. Like, I can also, you know, however way that comes about, like, we are in exit phase. Like, we are,
okay.
Yeah. It's in my mind, I have left.
Okay.
That situation. Yeah.
I am curious if this new perspective that we kind of gained together about the similarities on, like, you know, moderate dating, moderate drinking, like that, I wonder if that's going to help you move through this like with more conviction.
Yeah.
Even though you're out, like, the mentally, you know, it's hard when you're in front of the person. It's hard when things are going good, maybe, or like, you know, you're enjoying the energy that day.
Yep.
And
totally. And you will.
It goes back to the swaying, you know, it goes back to the teacher of mine used to call it vagina hurt. When you're like riding the fence, it's like vagina hurt.
Oh my God.
Isn't that good?
That's funny.
In more ways than one, vagina hurt.
Yeah, literally. You know? Literally.
It's that sitting on the fence and like, I'm curious, like, what do you think? Do you think you have more conviction? Do you feel like more clear about it? Do you need to work it through in your head more? Like,
no,
where are you at?
No, I definitely have much more clarity, and you know, I know what needs to be done, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to say excited to like kind of cut these ties, but like
you're energized. Yeah,
I kind of am, you know, and like, you know, obviously it's scary, and like the fear of being alone is very much there, but also like not like at the same time, because like I really, it's so much easier to let go of like what isn't serving you when you focus on like what you want and like what is going to feel good, even though like maybe you haven't experienced it yet, right? Like, which is really hard to like do. It's like believing in Santa Claus, right? Like, or like Wi-Fi, you know, like you don't see Wi-Fi, but yet, you know, you can scroll through and you see shit on TikTok and stuff, right? Like it's there, right?
Yes.
It's totally there. And I think like my game plan moving forward is like, let's kind of just like shut down the engines, like recalibrate.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like, I think I just want to, you know, get to know myself a little bit more. I take this as an opportunity to like, not necessarily like be alone. I think I want to like focus, because when I'm dating, like all my friends and like social life just like kind of like, you know, goes on the back burner. But I like really love my friends, and I love being like out and like trying new things and like having fun and like without any pressure.
Like, yeah. Without
any pressure to find a certain person at this time to to meet this timeline, because
throw it out the window.
Yeah. It just
time's
sucks.
A construct. Ugh.
Yeah.
It sounds exhausting.
It is exhausting.
I want to know, like, because this was a 3 years on and off.
Yeah.
What are you going to put in place? What boundaries are you going to put in place to ensure that when you get uncomfortable, lonely, that is no longer an easy reach for you? In the same way, you know, we did that when you were not drinking. What are the boundaries? What's your moral standing to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Okay. Two things here. This particular person loves to go like cold turkey and just like has a field day with like blocking and like staying completely away from each other.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a blessing in disguise. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so I like technically couldn't even like reach out even if I wanted to.
Okay.
Which is really harsh, and also like another red flag. Like, this is not like the type of person that you want to be in a relationship with. If someone can just like literally stonewall you like so easily. Anyways, that's besides the point. So that is kind of a blessing in disguise. And then like the other part is like, I really want to focus on things that I love and like bring me joy, which is a lot of things. I really want to focus on tennis. Like, tournament season is coming up. I really want to like train hard. That is really exciting for me. Like I said, I've been saying for months that I want to have a dinner party at my place. I am fortunate enough to have like space for a beautiful dining table and dining area.
Fun.
Like, and I've just been like putting it off, right?
Yeah.
Like, I want to get, like, my girlfriends are the bomb and I love hanging out with them. And I would love to, like, you know, let's make those TikTok recipes a freaking reality. Let's stop sending them to each other and actually make them, right?
I love that. Yes.
Yeah. So I definitely want to do that. I love cooking. Like, so that's hitting everything, like cooking, socializing, like hosting people at my house. Yes. And, you know, I'm also open to, like, I would be down to, like, meet new friends.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know everyone yet. I definitely don't know everything in, like, the world. Like, I'm down to meet new people who know different shit than I do. Broaden my horizons. Yeah. Why don't you, you know, let's
broaden
get it.
Them.
Yeah. Open those horizons right the fuck up.
Okay. I love that. So we're going to close a chapter.
Yeah.
We're going to.
Yeah.
Now here's a hard question.
Yeah. Oof.
With the, solution, ma'am, was that this person would block you and they would make themselves unavailable. Can you take the power back? And would you want to delete their number and block them so that chapter is closed? And this is a good question because I think a lot of people think about that. Like, do I block them? Do I block my ex? Sure. Do I delete their number?
Yeah.
How do I take that easy reach out of reach and make it a little bit harder? If they're not in your phone, is that a little bit harder? If they're not on the gram, is that a little bit harder?
Yeah.
What are some, like, power take backs that you can do specifically with this person? Yeah. And why are you hesitant to do them?
Well, I think, like, first and foremost, like, what are you trying to, like, also achieve by, like, having them on, like, say your Instagram or, like, TikTok and stuff? Like, what do you want? Like, does looking at their stuff make you feel more connected to them? Because you get, like, these little, like, glimpses into their life? Probably.
And kind of sad that you feel more connected on the gram versus having them in your life. So telling.
Which is a huge, reality check. Would I personally block them? I don't know. I don't know if I really, like, care about that. Like, I definitely wouldn't, like, block their number. Like, I don't know. I don't really, at this point in time, like, I don't feel the need to. Like, I don't think that that's going to send me into, like, a spiral if I see them, like, doing, like, living life, because, like, I know this person. I know, like, what's really going on behind, like, closed doors. And so, like, seeing their shit doesn't trigger me, like, at all. Like, I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, it doesn't really bother me.
The opposite of love isn't hate, it's indifference. So that's, like, good to be there, but by not, this is hard. This is like I'm challenging you right now.
Okay. I'm down.
By not picking a boundary, you are defaulting to no boundaries.
Okay.
So by saying I'm leaving it open, you're not leaving it open to privacy. You're leaving it open to access. You're giving that person, like, access to you to see, to reach out. Does that make sense? Like, does that track? Yeah. Do you see my perspective?
Yeah, but for me, like, there is no room. Like, even if they were to, like, reach out, like, I know, and I, like, after three, like, trust me, we've gone a long, like, back and forth for 3 years, like, and every time I knew when we would get back together, like, I knew, like, something would come about, but, like, I just feel so strongly, like, I understand now, like, this is actually quite like, it's not just not getting what I want. It's actually mm-hmm. like really disrupting my health, my mental health. Like mm-hmm. it's so much more than just like not finding a partner.
Yeah.
And it's not like, it's not them personally. It's just the nature of like not getting what you need and want. And so it's not even like about them personally. It's like the bigger picture.
Right, right, right.
But they are kind of like the poster child or like the definition of like that for me.
Okay.
So there's like, there's zero room. Like maybe they will reach out, like, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
Like, I'm just not there anymore.
Okay.
So like, yeah, if you want me to block them, like, sure, like whatever.
I'm like, block them right now. Yeah. Do it. But like, unfollow. No, but I just like, think
we also
it's an
don't
interesting...
look at each other's shit anyways. Like,
I just think
I just
like,
don't care.
I think you deserve to go one step further than not caring and care yeah. about yourself. And care yeah. about your future self and care about set yourself up for success so that when you are in a really good place and this is a longevity and this is linear and you're good,
yeah.
if they aren't, it will not impact you. It won't throw you off. A text yeah. won't, I don't know, like, but I guess then you could say that you wouldn't be having confidence in yourself, that you wouldn't be strong in the future at the same time. So I don't know. I mean, I think you'll handle yeah. however way you it pans out.
Yeah.
But I think you deserve to like set boundaries and you deserve to go further than not caring and care about yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I definitely care about myself. I just don't. I just come to the realization, like, we're just two different people. And I don't, like, the way that this person loves is just mm-hmm. not for me.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. They're not a bad person. Like, right. I don't think she's bad totally. At all. It's just, like, this just doesn't work. Like we're like two ships passing in the night. We've tried multiple times.
Yeah.
And it's not for like lack of love. It's just, we just have two different like ideas of what relationships are and like what we need. And like, we're just not hitting the mark here.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I'm happy you've come to that.
Yeah.
Knowing. Even though it's a hard knowing.
Yeah, but it's also harder like staying and trying to like fight for shit that like you just want.
Ugh.
And deserve.
True.
Like
so true.
It's so much harder.
So true.
Yeah.
You're already going through tough shit. So you might as well go through tough shit that makes you like better and happier yeah. and with the
and,
possibility
like, at the end
of
the day,
a
you're
positive
gonna get
outcome.
What you want. Yeah. At the yeah. end of the day, like it's almost like business. Like, would you keep doing the same business strategy because totally. Like to get what you want? Or would you adjust that strategy to like get what you actually like fully want and need for your business?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Duh. I mean, we're not businesses. We're like,
I know. Well, kind of the business of love.
Yeah.
I'm open for business. No, I'm closed for business, but you're open for business.
I mean, okay. I am temporarily closed right now.
Temporarily closed. You're yeah. going to make TikTok.
We're down for renovations. Yeah. You know, we're down
you can
for
peek inside if you need just to see a little peek. Maybe yeah. you're gonna like hop on a dating app or talk yeah. to new friends, be open to a friendship evolving.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, like I'm down to like yeah, like figure out what I want and like what is gonna like fill my cup instead of like chasing someone. Cause it was, that's just so exhausting. Like chasing someone out of fear of like being alone. Oof.
Yeah.
Damn. That is a surefire way of not finding a relationship.
Yeah.
Well, not finding one that like you want. Yeah. And like, I want something to last. So.
And you deserve it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I think so. Thanks for asking all the hard questions.
Of course. I'm like, you got to keep me updated. Like, we're going to have to check in. We got to see where, what you're doing, what you're working, what you're finding in real time.
Yeah.
So phase one of love is yourself and sitting with yourself, shutting the shop down.
Yeah, man.
Doing a little renos.
Totally.
And I want to know what you learn from that. And if you learn and if you have any aha moments.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of those, I'm excited. Like, I think it's like, man, I feel like I've been dating for like 10 years, like chasing relationships for at least 10 years. Fuck. Gotta take a break here.
You put in your time. We could say that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And who knows? Like maybe love will hit you when you're not looking. They say that all the time. It was true for me. You
so
stop
annoying.
Looking and it seeks you out.
I know.
What is with me in seeking, suck?
what you seek will find you? Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Work on it.
Who knows what we'll find? To be continued.
TBC.
Yeah. But thank you, friend, for asking all the hard questions and holding the safe space. This was really awesome. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for letting me ask.
As you can see, this was a quite an emotional conversation. And again, I want to give a shout out to Kate from Clearheaded Podcast for, again, sharing that space and holding that safe, loving space to have this conversation. I feel very blessed to have friends that I can trust and, you know, bring episodes like this to you. I am totally fine with being vulnerable and open. I am not Superwoman. I do not know everything, but I am here to learn and grow and expand. And as you can see throughout this episode, that, my dear, is what life is all about. So if you're into growing, loving, learning, and expanding, and changing your relationship with alcohol, head to asobergirlsguide.com because we have your back. Whatever stage of your journey you are at, we got you covered. Please make sure to rate, subscribe, and leave your feedback about the podcast. We could not be doing this without you. If you have a friend or loved one who would benefit from this episode, please make sure to share. Sharing is caring. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and head over to A Sober Girl's Guide. We got you. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.